It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast, a very special podcast as we do our spring football preview. And with me now, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. What's up, man?
What's going on, David?
Today is the spring football eve, so we wanted to have you and Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
I'm very excited to be a part of this special show.
I'm glad you are. And can you do your best tone look for us? Did you hear the podcast while you were sleeping?
Before this weekend, I was not aware, or not this weekend, but before these last few days with Pirate Fest being promoted, I was not aware of who Tone Loke was.
You've never had Funky Cole Medina?
Or Wild Thing?
Have you ever done the Wild Thing?
Oh, anyway, this preview is off to a great start, but I guess people that listen to this podcast know
Yeah. Well, by his not responding, I'm going to assume Bubba has never done the Wild Thing.
Well, he's actually getting food right now, so at the draft,
there
are.
Don't kill the gimmick there, Dave.
Yeah. He hasn't. I don't know. We'll see. Well, he's got two kids, so.
Well, then Stacy's got some explaining to do.
I guess so. She drank that Funky Cole Medina.
I guess. Anyway, so three games tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. How about you? You and I are a lot alike.
Well,
I don't get excited about it.
I don't know. I hate spring football. I mean, let me rephrase that. I don't hate spring football in terms of the guys practicing and working, because it's arguably the most important time of practice. But to me, the spring football game is the most pointless thing in terms of evaluating what you're looking at. At least I don't. The only thing you can really tell in a spring game is effort.
And that's going to be there definitely tomorrow.
Yeah. So, but I am excited to see the first look at a Mike Houston coach football team in East Carolina. I'm excited for the whole day for Pirate Fest, and most importantly for the post spring game podcast party at O'Cool's with us and a bunch of former players. But it's certainly the most excitement I've had for a spring football game. Oh my God, really?
In a long time.
I can't tell you the last time.
Even when the coaches and we were winning.
Yeah,
it just feels like this is different. Yeah, this is totally different.
Yeah, guys, for me, when it comes to the spring game, when you have a regime change like this, it's always more interesting. I think back to when Skip Holtz arrived. You obviously had the Andre Allison factor, but then you also had James Pinckney. If you guys recall, he had some academic struggles,
right?
And he was at Pitt trying to get his grades up.
Correct.
And so then you were wondering, you had Devon Drew, who went on to be an excellent tight end. You had Devon Drew at quarterback and Court Schenkweiler at quarterback in that spring game. And so fortunately, JP was eligible, and Devon and Court were able to move back into the tight end / fullback role.
Yeah.
And then you had, of course, when Ruffin was coming in, you had a major scheme change on offense going to the air raid. So it was interesting. And then you, of course, had the change from Ruffin McNeil to Scotty Montgomery. I was not there, and obviously not as much was going to jump out at you there, even though there was the curiosity factor to a lesser degree in me personally.
Well, it's definitely going to be a big day and a big night for us. I'll tell you what, guys. Let's go ahead. We have our spring, the last one before the spring game, and number 14. Let's go to Coach Mike Houston. We were there at practice today, and let's go to him and get his thoughts.
All right, practice 14's in the books. Okay, the thing with today is we kind of introduced a typical Thursday practice to our players. In season, how we'd want to operate on that Thursday, how we'd want to practice in helmets. So again, another teaching moment for our guys. I thought they handled it really, really well. A lot of excitement today. Everybody's excited for tomorrow. We're hoping the weather stays the same, okay, for tomorrow. But we can't control that. But it certainly is an exciting weekend. We've got signees from this past year signing class on campus. A lot of parents coming back, alumni, fans. A lot of people here for a variety of reasons. Spring game. the Pigskin Pig Out, Pirate Fest, all that. Should be a great weekend in Greenville. So really excited to get to this point with our team. I told them we've been trending upward here the last week and a half. We certainly want to finish it off on a high note tomorrow. And we talked about what we expected to see tomorrow. You know, I told them I expect to see, you know, great execution, okay, a lot of energy, a lot of intensity, and I want to see them compete and have fun. And if we do those things tomorrow, then we'll be really, really pleased with the way our first spring practice ends.
With it being offense versus defense, how much are you looking forward to the battle in the trenches, seeing who comes out on top there?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see them compete and go at it in a game day mode. And we talked about it. It's not a regular season ball game. But still, I mean, it is an evaluation. So I would hope that you would see a very competitive line of scrimmage tomorrow.
Where do you plan on being at during the game and coaching?
I'll be right next to the white hat on the field with the team. So the coordinators will be running the two sidelines. The only decisions I'll really make during the scrimmage will just be, you know, stuff go forward on fourth down, things like that, procedural things.
I think the guys like being out here. You know, in practice this week, maybe compared to over there.
Well, I think anytime you get a changeup like that, I think that's, you know, adds a little bit of energy to it. I think certainly with, you know, the new structure, the Town Bank Tower, you know, finishing up, I think that adds some excitement to the stadium. And I think just, you know, coming from where we were December 3rd, and we talked about this morning. You know, we talked about December 3rd this morning, and we talked about today and how far this team has come in not only their play on the field, but their conduct off the field, how we're doing academically, and you know, how we're operating. You know, we're such a higher level right now than we were on December 3rd. And so I do think there's a lot of energy for a variety of reasons.
Outside of the game itself tomorrow, if you were to give this thing a 1 to 100 grade of some kind, just how far you've brought them along at this point. I know you got a long way to go.
We do.
But where would you put them at 1 to 100 right now?
Well, I would say today before tomorrow, I don't know, I'd say in high 60s, 70, somewhere around there. I mean, I think the past week and a half, you know, I think we've really kind of turned the first corner, you know, to where we're learning how to compete better. You know, we're not having to just stay on them by effort as much. You know, we still got a few hiccups. We've got to keep correcting behaviors and stuff like that. But I just I think that we are starting to trend in the right direction.
Coach, you talked so much about physicality this spring. Is there a place for finesse in a Mike Houston football program?
Well, there is. I mean, there certainly is. But, you know, the quarterback, you know, skill guys with the ball in their hand at times. But at the end of the day, it is a physical sport. And I don't care if you are a wide receiver. There's going to come a time and a place where you're going to have to put your shoulder down, have great ball security, and get that extra yard, you know, at the goal line, at the first down, wherever. Certainly, we want to create opportunities to get athletes in space and take advantage of their, you know, God-given ability one-on-one and make a guy miss and make a big play. There's no point. There's no doubt that there's a point and place for that. But, you know, the big thing I want to establish coming in here is just the way we compete at the point of contact.
How do you handle reps tomorrow?
Well, we're going to start out, you know, ones versus twos. Okay, we'll monitor the reps throughout. You know, at some point we will, you know, get some of the threes and others into the scrimmage. And at some point you may see us start to take guys out if they've got, you know, their rep limit. You know, we will have a rep count on certain players. And some guys need all the work they can get. And we have a goal. You know, we'd like to get about 70 snaps for each side. We'll see if we can get that in that time allotment.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about physicality. With a huge fan of John Williams, strength coach, what is what's the progress there as far as where you were December 3rd and now as far as in the weight room?
Well, I think that's night and day also. You know, and John is a huge part of our program, and, you know, he and I are in sync as far as the mindset with how we run things. And so if you walk into that weight room on a given day, you'll see something that's very reflective of the way we practice. But, he, you know, his job this summer is critical to our success. And I told the players, you know, when we get to August camp, they will be in the best shape of their lives. I can promise them that. He will train them this summer and have them in the best physical shape of their playing career. And the other thing is he will have their minds prepared for what preseason camp's going to be and for what a challenging season's going to be. So, you know, I think they've come a long ways, but, you know, a lot of his work's going to take place this summer.
It seems like from a disciplinary management standpoint this spring that the message has been when somebody's sloganing off the field when they're making a mistake, pass that 3-9. We got to get that 3-9 the heck out of here.
That's it. And it's – You know, I had a message at the end of practice. They had a kid that's got his earrings in. We don't wear jewelry on the field. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, it's no surprise, that kid struggled with a lot of things. Okay, he's either going to get it fixed or he's not going to be a part of the program. Because it is a privilege to wear the ECU Pirate football uniform. You know, it's not a right. Okay, and we've all got to understand that. It's a privilege for me to be the head coach. It is not a, is not a given right. So we've got to treat that way, and we've got to make sure that we eliminate those things that cause you to have a losing program. And I do think habits are a big part of it. Okay, positive training habits, positive personal social habits, positive habits with the way you conduct yourself around the facility, on the practice field, and around campus. Okay, and I do think as a program we're doing a night and day's difference with all those things. Okay, but we cannot tolerate anything that's going to cause us to backslide.
Pretty fans sitting on the fence thinking about coming out to the spring game tomorrow. What would the game they expect from a Mike Houston Purple Gold game?
Well, I mean, I hope it's going to be something that's very engaging with the fan base. You know, the fact that we are running it, you know, kind of like a regulation game as opposed to the way some spring games are ran, I think it should be entertaining for them. I think for all of Pirate Nation that's tired of the last couple of years, come out and see what's changed. Because I promise you, it's going to look different. You know, we hope that it's something where the fans leave here saying, you know what, that bunch is going to fight. They're going to compete on game day this fall. You know, and I want to be there this fall to see it. So I'd say come out and see for yourself. Grab a big plate of barbecue and enjoy the day with us.
The quarterbacks, are you trying to get Holden and Reed first team reps?
Yeah. Both of them will get first team reps. Both of them will get second team reps. And you'll see the other quarterbacks work in also.
Thanks, Coach. Okay.
Thank you, Coach.
Thanks
a lot.
See you guys.
Yep. Definitely a great time at practice today. And, gentlemen, I was going to tell you.
Got to get those earrings out, son.
Yeah, well, Bubba, I tell you, this was amazing today.
Boy, he called him out. He didn't say who he was. He flat out said that his kids also had other issues. You can either get it fixed or he ain't going to be on this football team.
And he was talking about, I love that, it's a privilege, not a right. Yeah. It's a privilege, not a right.
Exactly.
To be at East Carolina and put that purple uniform. And the same thing he said about him, it's a privilege for him to be a coach. And, you know, we all know how confident he is. However, he's smart enough to know that it is a privilege to be the coach at East Carolina University. This is not, you know, like a sorry job or a mediocre job or whatever. This is a big deal. And
I mean, Pirate Nation, he could be at Charlotte right now.
Exactly. And he didn't want – I don't think he wanted to be at Charlotte, or he would have said – Anyway, I don't want to speculate on that, but it definitely changed the course, if you will. And speaking of righting the ship, Kyle and I that night, I remember you and I talking like, "What in the world is going on?" And
oh man, I was going off. I
remember that night.
Pirate Radio, Detroit, and just yelling like, "They're gonna hire blah blah blah, and we're gonna keep it blah blah blah." Anyway, I'm glad that worked out.
Yeah, fortunately, some people came to their senses, and we did what we needed to do.
Exactly.
Like ourselves, and then a lot of other Pirate fans as well back in August.
What should have happened, really quick, what should have happened in that situation is Montgomery should have been fired after the Cincinnati game.
Montgomery should have been fired after the North Carolina A&T game.
Well, you know what, I know. I'm just saying, you know how I feel. I'm just saying that the correct thing would have been, if you're going to fire him anyway, they were going to fire him after NC State anyway, and you go ahead and fire him so that you have a chance that gives you an extra week, or even like you said, you fire him. Wait, you don't fire a guy on Thursday.
It all worked out. Dave Hart ended up getting it done.
It is.
So it's
good now. It's good now. Yeah. And, you know, we've got a – I'm impressed. I'll tell you what I'm impressed with. When he says a word – we got a new drinking game at East Carolina. Every time you say physicality, you got to take a drink, a shot.
Physicality, no doubt.
But exactly, or no doubt. But there's definitely
I'll
a difference.
Yeah. So something else from I also trying to fall. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I can tell you with the effort, as he says, the effort, the intensity, physicality. Those are words, they're buzzwords. But I'll tell you what. You and I were talking before about buzzwords.
I like this little saying, that's that 3-9. Anytime somebody's running off the field slow or has the earrings in their ear in practice or does it, that's that 3-9. There's that 3-9. I love that. That's awesome.
I do too. That's That, Bubba, you've been a coach. That's exactly what you do. So every time they have something that is not, he was talking about the habits, and it's true. It's like Bubba and I having children. We have to teach our kids. I teach our kids every day about manners, every single day. And I remember my eighth grade science teacher, he had the term home training, and he was talking about boys and girls. He said, those folks don't have home training. Well, this particular case, it's all about the habits. It's, one thing about Mike Houston, right at the end of practice, right before that whole 3-9, what he noticed the player with the earring, he actually, what was cool about it, he actually was going down detail about, this is what we're doing tomorrow. And he was talking about, you're going to be doing this for the national anthem. I mean, detail by detail by detail, breaking it all the way down to the national anthem. And I thought that was really awesome because.
Like, is there nobody taking a knee?
No, I knew you were going there. I knew somebody would go there. But, no, just the fact that before there wasn't attention to detail, and we went 3-9, 3-9, and 3-9. Yeah, now it's attention to detail. We're going to flip it. Yeah. It's going to be 9-3.
I'm not going to go that far.
He has so many
habits to break.
Wait a minute. Let me clarify what I was saying. I'm saying not this year. I'm saying that we're building towards where we were. I want to make that very clear.
Yeah, Dave, as far as what you're bringing up, though, as far as the national anthem, that's something that one of the baseball programs, varsity baseball programs here in the Salisbury area that I've been a part of, one of the things that our head coach really instilled in our guys when we were standing straddling the baseline or standing there at the baseline for the national anthem is that you do not take your hat or remove your hat from over your heart and walk off until it's completely through playing. Because, you know, a lot of times there toward the end, people go ahead and put their hat back on and walk off. And we had a couple players that did that, and he got a hold of them very quickly.
By the way, Bubba, before we get, I know we're limited on time with you. We got the big event coming up on tomorrow night, Saturday night. Professor Cools, 5-7. It's going to be tremendous in the Big Lodge Shopping Center. If you don't know where that is, just Google Professor Cools Greenville. It's at the corner of Arlington and Greenville Boulevard there, right behind Logan's as well. We'll give them a plug. But anyway, Bubba, I know you have a list of the guests that we've got so far. We wanted to mention that before you have to go.
Yeah, I'll start off with a confirmed guest. We'll be kicking off our show tomorrow night talking to Marcus Crandall. Of course, led the Pirates to many upset wins in the 1990s, like Syracuse, South Carolina, Miami. Of course, the Liberty Bowl win over Stanford. We'll also be talking to Kevin Walker from the 1983 team. KK will be there. Mark Washington and Greg Grandison from the 91 team. Of course, 11-1 Peach Bowl champions. We'll have several guys from the Pat Dye era, Walt Davis, Jimbo Walker, Coach Henry Trevathan Sr., as well as a few others. We'll have Emmanuel Davis, Dakota Marshall, of course, our buddy Terry Gallagher from Dye era. I forgot to mention him, but he'll be there for the duration. We have Kenny Carroll, Kenneth Carroll. He was part of the offensive line there in the early 90s. Buddy, or Pirate Nation's a good buddy, I should say. Rick Smith, people love Coach Smith and his brutal honesty. He'll be there.
Rick is confirmed?
Yes.
He is.
All right.
He actually contacted me either yesterday or.
Thursday, I believe.
Yep. Thursday afternoon, Coach Smith reached out to me and said he would be able to attend. So that's exciting. And then Garrett McGinn, and then some other possibilities are like Jody Schultz from the early 80s, who also went on to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. I think he finished up at ECU in 82. And then also Steve Hamilton, who was the highest drafted player of several drafted players on that 1983 team.
Well, good job there. Good job there, Bubba and Terry. Getting these lined up. That's come together quite nicely with the guest list for interviews and
some
so,
that may
yeah,
man, we got
Pirate
some
Nation
that are going
to listen out there, man. Y'all come on out, hang out with us. We want the open to the public. We want you guys to come out and join us and spend some money at O'Cool's, get something to drink and eat, and hang out with these former players. You know, you get a chance to talk to Marcus Crandall, get a chance to talk to Rick Smith, Emmanuel Davis, whoever. I mean, it's great. I think it's cool to see Rick Smith and Emmanuel Davis together again, guys. You know, you talk about how Emmanuel was excelling as a freshman and sophomore under Rick Smith, playing in that zone defense that Rick likes to run in the back end. And then we kind of went to a more of a man-type defense the first couple of years under Skip with Brian Mitchell, and he didn't do as well in that system. So I remember when Emmanuel was a freshman here, I thought he was going to be the greatest defensive back in East Carolina history.
He had that potential starting out, and it's unfortunate that, you know, just like the players right now, and they're coming off. I'm telling you guys right now, these guys are so hungry that I know Kyle, we were talking earlier before we started this podcast earlier today. Let's make sure that people know that Mike Houston's got a lot of a lot of work to do to turn this program around. Yeah. But I will tell you this: I think it's off to a good start, don't you think, Bubba?
Yeah, it most definitely is. I really think so. The 2020 class, I mean, he's got, what, three commitments already? And and some people, a lot of people just look at the offer list. Remember, it's early, folks. I mean, there's no reason. Go more on the film evaluation and trust your eyes rather than just what their offers are at this point, because just like with one of our recent basketball commitments, that's what he had an excellent performance out in Kansas in the JUCO National Tournament, and then his recruitment started blowing up. So don't just look at that offer list.
And not only that, but we got a big recruiting weekend, a lot of recruits coming in. We've got Sonny's coming in that have already signed. We've got parents coming in. We've got, as Coach was talking about as well, Pirate Nation, a lot of fans. We've got our podcast party. There's all kinds of stuff going on at Greenville this weekend with Pirate Fest. There's you name it. There's a huge weekend. We need to ask, when we have another chance, we need to ask Coach Houston about his – he loves Bon Jovi, by the way. Did you know that, Kyle?
I did. I know he's a big fan of Living on the Prairie. He's visited many times. And Dave, we got to get Ryan. We got to get him in the loop on our idea for the Bon Jovi concert at the spring game weekend next year. We got to get this – got to get this rolling, because it ain't me and you that's going to be bankrolling it. Gotta get some people interested.
Look, I'm lucky enough to own.
You know what, Dave? You know what you should have done, man. You know what you should have done today. You should have threw that at Mike Houston. You should have said, "Mike, we got a lot of events coming up. What would you think of a Bon Jovi concert in Dowdy Ficklin next year on Spring Game Weekend?"
Oh my God, I would be out of my mind. I tell you,
threw that at Mike and see what he said.
By the way, he would probably love that. You know who one of the biggest fans of Bon Jovi is, and this is not EC related, but we'll definitely make sure he's there, is John Forslund of the Carolina Hurricanes, the play-by-play guy. Okay. They unfortunately lost last night, but he's a huge fan, so we'll make sure that he gets down. But my point is, there's people across the board, whether sports, non-sports, ECU, non-ECU, that love Bon Jovi from young and old.
That'd be a good draw. It would increase spring game attendance. And excitement around spring game weekend.
Bring a lot of it's no telling what Bon Jovi gets, but I can tell you, you put that money in the coffers. And you, another thing is, you make sure that you put it out there way before. See, I think another thing too, you don't put it out just for the football season. You need to make that announcement in the summertime, early summer.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I have a theory on announcing concerts too soon. I also think announcing them too late is a huge, huge mistake, obviously.
With Bon Jovi, you got to. So
you can make
the
announcement. I wouldn't put tickets on sale then. I would wait to put tickets on sale. I think if you do it too soon, then
it loses flavor. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of, yes. I think too late and too soon. I have a whole theory on this.
All right. Well, anyway, the main thing is, if you had the spring game like we talked about at lunchtime, you put the that up. I'm telling you, with Bon Jovi is huge, and I don't know how much money they would have to put up, but I'm telling you, Town Bank, you can get sponsors or different ones that would help with that and front the money or whatever. And
Absolutely. I mean, but you got to figure you got to figure the gate is going to be big, and you're going to make money off of it.
The attention to that spring game would be bigger than any other spring game in the state, and that's Mike Houston being from that era. As far as like he knows he's our age, or my age rather. He's a couple years older than me, so he knows it. And then your age group, you and Bubba's age group, and then you look at the current students, the recent graduates. You've got kids know who Bon Jovi is. You know, I play songs for them. So
we need to. We're talking about it on the podcast, and that's great, but we need to contact Ryan Robinson, John Gilbert. He's really trying to get the ball rolling, and I think it's a great idea, and need to get it done. And I do think spring game weekend is the right
time
to have it, not the weekend before college football season starts.
That's a terrible idea. I didn't like the timing of it. I thought that another thing is, I'll tell you another reason why you don't do it. You and I go to a lot of concerts and all that, and I haven't been into recently being married with kids, but married with children. But you know as well as I do how many, it seems like everybody and their mama this year, for some reason, and next year is on tour, even people that are maybe not in our genre of like what we like, but the likes of people like Celine Dion, she hasn't toured in a few years. She made an announcement. She's out there. Elton John, you've got their tour, last tour. You've got a lot of people's last tour,
Leonard Skinner's last tour,
and Bob Seger.
Bob Seger's Silver Bullet Band.
There's a lot of last tour. Kiss, they're on their last tour.
Alabama.
They've been on their last tour for 20 years. Alabama's on their last tour. I mean, but there's all these people that are older artists, new artists. But my point is when you get to that point of the season, of concert season, people are either burned out or they're another thing, too, is a lot of people go Labor Day weekend, even though we love the Pirates and we'll be at that first game.
Well, I'll tell you, there's also sick people like me that I do things very obsessively, and when late August rolls around, I don't give a damn about going to a concert. I'm in football mode. That's
right.
All I'm thinking about is football. And
everybody's going back to school.
Yeah.
You're getting back in your normal routine.
Exactly.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Way too late.
I think a concert spring and summer and winter and wintertime also. Winter,
right. It's
spring,
something about the fall time just doesn't – you're exactly right. Because you got football.
Unless you're already in the middle – like, by the time October rolls around, particularly if the season isn't going well, then I could have some interest again. But
I make one exception.
Spring's the right time to do it.
Maybe two exceptions I make. One concert-related, one non-concert-related. If Garth Brooks says he wants to come to Dowdy Ficklin Stadium – when it's an off week, we make an exception to that. Like, that's not going to happen. I'm just saying, I'm just saying if that would be a concert I'd be interested in the fall season.
Correct, yeah.
The other thing is Vince McMahon wants to put a pay-per-view there. It's the fall season. I'm all interested in.
Also not happening.
It's not happening. I'm just saying there are exceptions to the rule. Certain concerts, certain events that would be like a no-brainer that we would say, yes, we would do it even during, you know, football season or even in our mindsets of that. I agree with you 1,000%. Another thing is you've got festivals, you've got fairs, you've got all kinds of stuff that are starting to happen then. The springtime, you got a lot, too, is we've got the Shad Festival, the in Mount Olive, they've got the Pickle Festival going on. Yeah, Pirate Fest. You've got
concerts in conjunction with festivals like they're doing with Pirate Fest this weekend.
Yeah.
And in my mind, that's, you know, and get everybody involved. Get everybody on board with it.
You get Pirate Fest. Do Pirate Fest. Let them do Friday.
Well, you could have Pirate Fest
Saturday.
Involved with this.
Yeah, on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you can just get everybody involved. Let's have a big concert spring game weekend to just increase attendance for everything.
Yeah, well, I tell you, and let's talk about the spring game some more because I can talk Bon Jovi for a few hours in the concerts. Getting back to the spring game, when apparently there's a scoring system, and we'll try to figure that out. I'll let Bubba do that. You and I are not. That's not our forte, and that's okay. We'll let him. They're going to release that to us later on, and we'll try to figure that out. But maybe we can talk a little bit about that. But they're going to give everybody an idea. They'll have scoring systems. Basically, what is scoring systems for the offensive defense, layman's terms, what I understand. There's going to be timeouts for both sides. They're going to be four 15-minute quarters, by the way, Kyle. And what they're going to do is they're going to the last 2 minutes, say, for example, of the half, so they'll be the last 2 minutes of the second quarter, so kind of like a two-minute warning kind of thing, they're going to have where it's going to be stopped, and they're going to have situations and stuff like that. So that'll
be
the last
running clock up to the last 2 minutes.
Correct. And you do the same thing for the second half. And there's going to be a 10-minute halftime. So okay. You're looking at the start time of 1:30. If you do the math, and I've done it a little bit.
An hour and a half. 1:30
should be 3 o'clock. We'll be done. And by the way, folks, you'll get a chance to meet Mike Houston tomorrow. So if you haven't had a chance, they're going to do a meet and greet on the field. They're going to have the media. We'll talk to Mike Houston. I'm sure they'll let that first, and then the meet and greet. We'll try to do the best we can with that. And then I'm going to hightail it over to O'Cool's, and I know Kyle, you're going to already be over there. And there's actually, I know there's going to be players and folks. As soon as the game's over, they're going straight to O'Cool's, which is fine. So we'll be, if you go there, just keep in mind we're going to be getting ready for the show and for the podcast, and it's going to be so much fun. I'm terribly, I tell you, this is a tremendous time. Do you have, I know you said, not so fast, young man, for me, my friend, for me, when I want 7 games. And there's, I wanted to talk about that real quick, too. When you have a guy that's still wearing earrings and the team was 3-9, when you have players taking their helmets off at the beginning of spring game, when you have the conduct off the field is better, when you have maybe situations, I don't know this to be the case, but situations maybe where people aren't going to class like they should. All those kind of factors are the reason why this team was 3-9. There was basically, in a nutshell, there's no discipline, very little discipline. And now
yeah,
you've gone
what
from...
was funny is there was people who tried to use that bull crap to run rough out of here saying he should run a discipline program. Well,
right.
It was.
And remember about penalties? Remember how people said?
Oh yeah, penalties. Lots of times, penalties means you're playing hard.
Right.
And effort. Because
you're going balls to the wall.
Sometimes if you don't get no penalties, because you ain't putting forth no effort, because you don't give a damn.
Right.
You know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
NASCAR.
You know, it's as far as expectations for the season coming up. I know you say 7.
It may be that we don't know that it could 7. Be a Ben Kurt. It could be a situation where one of the players goes down a week, like we had Ben Kurt in 2015. No, I'm just saying that what we know right now, based on what we know right
well,
now.
Well, based on what I know is we've been having to work a lot on things we shouldn't have been having to work on. That, in my opinion, takes away from being able to install scheme and learning systems. And
right, when you're having to learn how to practice.
Yeah, you're having to learn how to act at practice. That's going to take away from you concentrating on learning the systems and things like that. I know we're going to be a much better football team this year.
Yeah.
It may be a year off before we see a huge turnarounds and wins and losses, but it may happen this year. Either way, I'm looking forward to this year, and will enjoy every moment of it and enjoy the growth process. And that's what I would tell Pirate fans: don't expect a miracle in year one. Just expect us to be a much better football team, and then know you're going to be. I promise you, you're going to be seeing a growth process that is going to pay off in the end. Unlike Scotty Montgomery. This program will grow. This team will grow from year to year under Mike Houston, and it's going to be fun to watch from year one to year two.
And I think going back to when we had the hiring of, if you look at even just from the spring football kickoff that they had that press conference to today, being Friday, the eve of the day before the spring game. He talked about that. They've improved tremendously over the last couple of weeks, man. I mean, the fact of the – I'm just excited about the effort out there that you see. And you see if you look at – see those – let me give a shout-out, by the way, the folks at behind the scenes at ECU Athletics for Twitter. They have been putting out some kick-ass – and I can say that – videos on there about showing a little bit of drills and stuff that they are doing. And the players before really were going halfway. They were not going 100%. I mean, and if you don't believe me, look at those videos, because I was at practice all last year, and I can tell you that what they're doing from last year to this year, it was like when Coach Smith was, one of our guests for tomorrow, was talking about practice, and you play like you practice. And when you look at the tackling, he's teaching them, when you're talking about teaching, he's teaching them how to tackle in practice without getting hurt. And that's easier said than done. But I'm telling you right now that the guy that we wanted for coach is hard. And I was thinking about this morning, Kyle. It's hard to believe that the guy that we all wanted on this podcast, and a lot of other Pirate fans and Pirate Nation wanted, and we got the coach we wanted. So
yes,
when you were talking about if we go 5-7,
yeah,
don't jump off the bandwagon. This guy and this program, I don't think they will. I think it would be a very small percentage if that did happen. And I don't want to say that that is going to happen, because
it's
we don't
the same
know.
People who wanted to give Montgomery another year.
Yeah, it's a small minority of folks that, you know, criticize Dooley, and they just criticize anyway. And that's why I appreciate you, because if you hear the good years, you know that Kyle was, maybe some people that don't know Kyle, but I do remember hearing you on Pirate Radio and before, and way back in the day, that there's the good, you know, the good years, you're not going to be Captain Bill all the time. So
No. There was always,
you're winning.
My ranting and raving, there is always a point to it. Don't ever mistake anybody out there that thinks I just rant and rave because I'm a lunatic like Captain. And, you know, and I've never met Captain Bill. He may be a fine gentleman, but he comes across as a lunatic. But
the lunatic fringe, right?
There's always a point to what I was doing, and believe me, you will not be hearing the same Kyle from LaGrange during the season this year that you've heard the last few years. And I'm sure some people may be disappointed about that.
Well, you know, it's kind of like bands. Things evolve, and Terry Gallagher and I were talking last night, and this is a point I was going to make to him today, but you and I can talk about it. But the people that want to keep things the same, things evolve. And, for example, in my era in the 90s, I had Coach Logan, right, and you had the Peach Bowl year. Well, that's my era, okay? But I don't live in those Peach Bowl years. Like, that's the – in other words, comparing Mike Houston, or if it's Scotty Montgomery or whoever came after the Peach Bowl, I don't compare them to that, because that was that particular era. We can't go back to that time. That's already passed. And I think sometimes in Pirate Nation, what are your thoughts going into our podcast party? Let's talk about that a few minutes and get out of here.
I'm fired up, looking forward to it. Got a great guest lineup. You know, I think we're, you know, I don't feel like we've promoted this one, or, you know, it doesn't feel as put together as the previous two, but suddenly the lineup is just came together last minute, and it looks like it's going to be fantastic. So, that's got me fired up. I'm particularly excited. It's so funny. You get excited to talk to certain people. And one guy, Emmanuel Davis, is the guy I'm really looking forward to talking to. And Rick Smith. Emmanuel Davis and Rick Smith are, to me, are like
Dakota Marshall,
the personal highlights.
Dakota Marshall is, I think Brandon Simmons is going to be there. You know, they're close. He's close to Emmanuel Davis. And I met Emmanuel for the first time at the Tower Bank Tower. A press conference right after practice on Wednesday. Tremendous guy.
Town Bank Tower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was a great guy, and he said he would definitely. But they said they were going to be there, so look forward to it. It's going to be a lot of great people. We want people to buy a whole bunch of stuff for Linus and the great staff. Let's have Linus sweating because they're working. Now he'll get mad at me for saying that, but we definitely want a big crew there.
Yeah, it'd be good to the waitresses. Tip them. Our past two experiences there with the waitresses have been super cool. So, hopefully that'll be the same way again, and be good to them.
Even Bubba tips a lot, which I was really impressed with. So
yeah, it's like $3.
Yeah. It's funny because you and I, Kyle and I, we're You gave, I know I gave at least $20. I gave like 100% tip.
And well, the first time, just, the last time they actually included, if you remember, Dave,
oh, that's
they
right.
included the tip in on our bill, which was a mistake on their end. Because we would have tipped more. But I hate when places do that. So I always don't tip any more than whatever is included on the bill.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. We actually, it's more, we have a big announcement to make, too. Tomorrow night we'll let you know about that, about the nostalgia party, and we'll be talking about that. That'll be coming up in a few months, but we want to I feel like tomorrow is a great audience, right? It's our the nostalgia party, if you've never listened to the podcast for the first
yeah,
time,
well,
it's kind of like the football player.
Tomorrow's lineup is really stellar. I mean, it's on par with the first nostalgia party. So
we didn't plan on – honestly, the nostalgia party is one of probably the biggest event we have all year. As far as live events,
yeah.
And we basically, the spring game was kind of a laid back. That's probably why we had the feel of just a handful of people. And then all of a sudden, in the last week or so, all of a sudden, it's like all these people are coming. But our intention was really just to kind of celebrate the spring game and have people. And the great thing is that Pirate Nation, a lot of people want to be there. They want to be there.
Yep.
We don't have the budget to pay people for or anything like that, or but it's going to be exciting. I cannot wait. The people have been
without having the budget to pay for people. We know one player that won't be there.
That's right. We'll leave them nameless. Maybe one of these days we'll be able to afford his appearance fees and stuff like that. But
maybe.
And even if we do have it, we may not give it to him. So, but anyway, it is what it is. You have a one in every crowd where there's situations where people want to get paid in. We understand that, but we're not getting paid. So if we're not getting paid, I can tell you the players are not going to get paid for sure. Between all of us, we're putting a lot of money into this podcast. I had somebody ask me that. As a matter of fact,
we
are
not getting anybody in. We don't actively seek sponsorship. That is something we have not done. But if you're out there and you want a sponsor, send us an email. We'll work in the emails.
That's right. You can simply email us at thesportsobj@gmail.com, or you can actually email me, davidrichmond@thesportsobjective.com, and you can do that. And by the way, Kyle, I know a lot of people need to check out our Facebook page, right?
Yeah, go on Facebook, just search Sports Objective, and go like our page, and you'll be able to, like tomorrow, by the way, if you can't be there, of course, you'll be able to listen to it on Apple Podcasts. It's going to be other podcast platforms live. Some of them will be
Stitcher.
Delayed, but you will definitely be able to watch it on Facebook Live. We're going to have some kind of setup on Facebook Live, and hopefully we'll have the audio issues we had last time on Facebook Live. I have an idea about the handle that, and I'll talk to you about that off the air, Dave.
All right. Well, folks, we appreciate you very much. We want to do a special preview of the game, and obviously I'll remind you about the great party. And I want to thank Bubba Rosenbaum. He had to work today. Both Kyle and I are off today, so we could go a little bit longer. And a guy that was off today, but I don't know if he's ever on, but that's a whole other show. I'm just kidding. Terry Gunn-Keller. He's one of our really good friends. One of the best things that ever happened to me as far as doing this podcast is the number of people we've met, like Terry Gallagher, that are just an absolute godsend, and I'm proud of our program because of players, many players like him.
Yeah.
So, anyway, join us tomorrow night, folks. We'd love to have you at O'Cool's right at the spring game, 5 to 7.
5 o'clock, guys. 5 to 7.
O'Cool's. Be there. All right, until the next time, for Bubba Rosenbaum, Terry Gallagher, Coach Mike Houston, and we had Kyle from LaGrange Barber, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.